I just feel such a presence of God here today. I got a message to preach, so I'm just trying to decide whether I'm going to dive off in it or what I'm going to do right now. So I'm not in a hurry. Y'all in a hurry? Okay, because if you're in a hurry, you're probably at the wrong spot. Because I'm just not even in a hurry today. I'm just waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord is good. He is good. He is good. There's no other name, no other name. Come on, shout his name. He is good. He is good. Today we're going to be talking about Jesus the servant. And I know that you know that our house loves to serve. Come on, we love to serve. It's part of our culture. It's part of who we are. It's part of what we do. And you know, here's the deal. I wish we had millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars because we would just serve like crazy. Amen? Amen? I wish that 50% of our budget went to serving because that's the heart of Jesus. Jesus loved to serve. Jesus was all about serving people. I mean, just the fact that he came to this earth was the whole thing about serving others. He didn't come for himself. Can I get a better amen? Hey, y'all better wake up 9 o'clock. Y'all, come on now. I'm excited this morning. Y'all got to get excited with me this morning about the goodness of God. He came to this earth just to serve. That's what he came here for. And our culture is serving, but sometimes in our serving, we can serve and miss the heart of the servant. We can serve out of our program or serve out of our a plan or serve like, okay, there's a flood, so there's a need and we serve, but we can forget the heart of the servant. And sometimes even in our serving, there can be things come up in our spirit that are prideful, like, oh, did you see our picture in the paper? Hey, did you notice that our name was mentioned on the news? Did you see us? Did somebody say? And we can get caught up in the pride of serving and really miss the heart of the serving. Really miss it. Because the heart of the servant always looks not for the limelight, but for the next person to serve. We can always say, hey, God, we're here to do whatever you want us to do. And when we miss the heart of it, then we forget the why. Why am I serving? What did I do this for? But today I want to just take you through a few examples of what it really looks like to have a heart of a servant. And there's nobody that has the heart of serving like Jesus did. We live in this entitlement society. I mean, everybody feels entitled. I mean, it's almost funny. Everybody feels entitled. They feel like, you know, well, I'm a VIP. I'm very important. I need someone to pat me on the back and tell me how good I am. The VIP section. I want to sit in the special seats. I'm very, very important. And then here's the deal. When we see Jesus, he was probably the greatest VIP ever lived. And he didn't have a gold chariot and he didn't have any bodyguards. He was just out doing what the Father had called him to do. But this is the scripture we want to talk about today in Mark 10. Says, and James and John, the son of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us what we ask of you. And I thought that was pretty amazing, just the whole, like, hey, Jesus, they didn't come humbly. Lord, we're at your feet. They said, Lord, we want you to do this because we asked you to do it. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one on your right hand, one on your left hand in your glory. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? And they said to him, we're able. And Jesus said to them, that the cup that I drink, you will drink, and with this baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But sitting at the right hand or on my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom has been prepared. And when the ten had heard this, they became indignant at James and John, and Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and that their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be greatest among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave for all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I took this out of the Passion. I love what it says in verse 25 out of the Passion. It says, kings and those with great authority in this world rule oppressively over their subjects like tyranny. But this is not your calling. Come on, somebody say, this is not my calling. I wasn't called to rule, but I was called to serve. This is not my call. I was not called to stand in judgment over others. I was called to serve. I was not called even in any regard to say, hey, I'm in charge here, and so everybody, you're subject unto me, but I was called to serve. You will live a completely different model. The greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others, because the greatest honor and the authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served, but to serve everyone and giving his life in exchange for our salvation for many. As we look at the life of Jesus, there are so many examples of how he served and how we should live. The first miracle that Jesus did when he turned the water into wine, he did this miracle on that day. And as he turned the water into wine, let's think about that whole first miracle. The miracle was not about him being revealed as the Messiah, or him being revealed as the Master, or him being revealed as the one that could do miracles. That was not the purpose of the miracle. I want you to hear what I'm about to say to you. There was a reason for the miracle. The miracle was to serve others so that others could be taken care of. I want all you supernatural people to listen to me in here. That should be everybody. Wake up this morning. I want all the supernatural people to listen to me. There's not one miracle that you can find in Scripture that did not have purpose. Jesus never did miracles so he could pull a rabbit out of the hat so somebody could say, woo! Wow! God rolled back the Red Sea. It was for the purpose of getting some people across on dry ground. So from Old Testament to New Testament, when there's a miracle taking place, it has a purpose. And most of those times, if not all, the purpose was to serve somebody in the situation they were in. Can I get a better amen this morning? And so his service and his miracle doing was all about taking care of somebody else. All the way to the cross, when he gave his life freely and died on the cross for our sins, he was about serving. I've only come to do what the Father had me do, to serve you so that you may have life and to have it more abundantly. And when we think about serving, like going out and taking care of people during the flood, it's because they're living in a time when life is difficult and bad and situations are tough, and they're walking through probably one of the worst times of their life. And then you show up on the scene and you help them through their situation. You're bringing joy to them in this time of need. This is the work of Jesus. He said, I come to serve. So he was surrounded by people with needs. And when they were coming to him, and when they wasn't coming to him, he went looking for them. That's how Jesus was. When they wasn't coming to him, he went looking for them. He even met those that were not so happy with him, those that were disagreeable with him, those that were angry with him, and he loved them with the same love as he loved those who came saying, Jesus, I'll get at your feet, whatever you want me to do. He had the same love. He had the same heart. I think about the woman at the well. When Jesus came to the woman at the well, it was such an amazing story, because he came there to work a miracle in her life that had nothing to do with you know, a sickness or a disease, but had to do with her heart condition. And he went out of his way to stop at the well that day to work a miracle in her life. And he sent his disciples away, and they come back. They saw him with this woman at the well. He had so much compassion. He was more worried about the woman at the well, and he has more compassion than he was concerned about other people's opinion. Yeah. Yeah, come Somebody with me today? Sometimes we're more worried about other people's opinion than we are the compassion to serve them. What are they going to think about me? Who's going to say? Who cares? So look at your neighbor and say, who cares? Hey, I want to lose this whole idea of the who cares on both sides of the spectrum. I want to have a heart like Jesus did in serving people. He was a perfect example. I love the miracle he did. You know, he was, before there was McDonald's, Burger King, Whataburger, all the rest of them, even Chick-fil-A. Jesus was in the fast food business. Yeah, he was. The Bible said he fed 5,000 men, all their wives and their children, with just a few loaves of fishes and bread. And I think if you rewind that scripture back just a little bit, and the scripture says that he had already come and he had healed all their diseases and he had done all that. And the Bible, you go back a few more scriptures and it says, and he had compassion on them. So he healed them. He touched their life. He ministered to them. And then he went the next step and he fed them. He didn't stop with just, hey, okay, I've done the miracles. You ought to be good to go now. Go get your own groceries. He looked at the disciples and he said, hey, these people are hungry. What are we going to do? And the disciples like, can you just imagine having these guys standing around? You say, hey, we're going to feed these people. And they're going, have you lost your mind? Jesus got right into the fast food business just like that. He's like Chick-fil-A says, my pleasure. He was healing the sick. He was teaching. He was preaching the kingdom of God. He was feeding the hungry. I want you to take note of the image of his heart and how he loved people and just see it from that perspective. In John 6, when the people saw the signs that he had done, they said, this indeed is a prophet who has come into the world. Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Jesus the servant, Jesus the king, Jesus that walked the face of the earth, did not want to be drawn into the limelight of serving. He wanted to be drawn, he wanted to live in the place of humility. He said, no, you're not going to set me up on a throne. You're not going to set me up on a high place. You're not going to set me up on a place where you can make me king. I've come to do a work in the land. I remember a story years ago that was told to me about a man who made a fish lure that was amazing. And he caught lots of fish with this lure. And so he started selling the lure and reproducing the lure. And he made more and more and he was selling more and more. And he became very famous. And so he started going around demonstrating his lure in fish tanks all across the United States and showing people how this amazing lure worked. One day a reporter was writing a story on him and he asked him this question. He said, how many fish have you caught lately with your lure? The man paused for a minute and he remembered that he became so popular and traveling the world with his lure, he had stopped fishing. He hadn't caught a fish in a long time. We can come so popular with what we're doing that we can forget what we're about. The church so many times can evolve or revolve into something that we're doing, and then we forget what the purpose of why we're here for. Jesus never missed the moment why he was here. He knew what he came to do. And he said, I've got this short time. I can't be distracted with popularity. I can't be distracted with other people's thoughts. I can't be pulled aside. I have to continue to stay on focus of what God has called me to do. Many look for a place to sit with Jesus, and they're looking for a place to serve. And they're saying, hey, God, where can I sit at the table with you? Jesus said, look, this is not about sitting. It's about serving. This is not about your position. It's about what we do for the kingdom of God. If we really want to get close to Jesus, let me tell you how we get close to Jesus. We do what Jesus did. We leave our place at the table and we find someone to serve. We leave this idea of like, hey, I really want to get close to Jesus, so I'm going to go find somebody's life to touch. If you've ever come talk to me for a very long period of time and you're telling me that, man, I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with that, there's somewhere in the conversation I'm going to tell you, hey, who have you served lately? Who have you talked to lately? Who have you went cooked a meal for lately? Who have you taken to buy some clothes for? Who have you carried a basket of food to? Who have you helped to the hospital? Who have you helped along the way? Because here's the deal. When we get introspective, we start looking at ourselves, and we start thinking about ourselves all the time, it disconnects us from the one who can do everything for us. But when we want to be close to him and like him, we start doing what he does. There's something that supernatural takes place in our own life. We love our five-star church. We like to come in, have the air just right, and have the chairs just right, and have the donuts in the morning come on somebody, and have the coffee, and have everything just right. And we love for the worship to be just right, and we love for all the lighting to be just right, and we get so caught up in our five-star church that we forget about the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God often looks like a prison or a home of a widow or a crack house or a soup kitchen. Now, I'm just going to throw this out because I'm being pastor for a moment. Oh, you know, church has got so boring. Let me preach a little better. Let me get a little closer. Oh, I'm just not getting fed. Oh, got to go to church today. You know why? You've made church about you. And when you make church about you, you miss the heart of the Father. But when we make church about the kingdom and about his purpose and about his glory, then we start seeing Jesus up close and personal. Anybody with me today? Oh, I really want to know him. Well, then go do what he's doing. You know, it's sometimes people say, Pastor, I'd like to spend some time with you. I said, sure. Come to my office in the morning. Ride with me for a day. Well, I didn't want to spend all day with you. I just wanted to kind of talk. Yeah. Well, if you want to hang out with me, I start early in the morning, and you can come hang out. Matter of fact, you can spend the night at my house. I'll get you up when I do, and we'll just go all day long. See, Jesus wants you to come spend some time with him and learn to do what he's doing and go where he's going, speak what he's speaking, walk like he's walking, say what he's saying. And Jesus was always about people. Always about people. It's our nature to want to be served. It's our nature to want to be served. It's his nature to want to serve others. Hey, look, Angela and I's 25th anniversary is coming up. And I've been wanting to go. I wouldn't even say this if she was here today, but I've been wanting to go. I wanted to go stay at a really nice hotel, and I wanted to have room service, and do all this stuff. My girl ain't interested in that. You know, I just thought, hey, it'd be fun just to go get served, just to order room service, just to sit. And she's thinking about, hey, just don't spend the money on that. Let's do this. Let's go to. Let's not. We got other things we need to do. I'm like, girl, I want to be served. I deserve this. 25 years of marriage. Come on. Amen. And the one who really deserves it don't want to do it. Kind of our nature. We like to be served. Come on, let's be real. Let's have a real moment. How many like to be served? The rest of y'all better get saved because you know you're lying. Let's do this one more time. How many like to be served? Yes, amen. Come on, that's it, Mama K. Raise both hands. I like that. Hallelujah, me. I like to be served. And we should at times. There's times for honoring that we should serve, that we should get served. You should be blessed. But at the same time, if we really understood the heart of the Father, he was about serving others. He was about going to those that were hurting, about those that were in prison, those that were hungry. Matthew 25, and I won't read all the passages of Scripture for the sake of time. Most of you know that today. But he talked about all of these different things, and he said, when they were hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was broken, you came to me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And he said, and they said, well, Father, when did we do this? Jesus, when did we do this? He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. His heart was always about touching others and reaching others. Every life that he touched had eternal significance. We don't serve others just to get our names in the headlines, but we serve others to get their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus lived the life that he wanted us to live. And one of the greatest lessons he taught was at the Last Supper, when he took a towel and a basin of water and he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus was in the towel ministry. So many today are in the title ministry. Who's greatest among you? Jesus said, look, out of all the lessons I've taught you, you've seen miracles, you've seen the dead raised, you've seen the blinded eyes open, you saw me when I talked to the woman who was drugged to my feet because she was caught in adultery. You saw all of these things. He said, but if you miss this lesson right here that I'm about to teach you, all of those things won't mean anything. And he took a towel. The Bible says that he put it around his waist and he took a bowl of water and he began to wash the disciples' feet. When he came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, no. Not me, Lord. And Jesus said, look, if I can't wash your feet, I'll have no part of you. He said, well, then, Lord, wash me from head to toe. Wash all of me, God. What really Jesus was wanting to do that day, he was wanting to pass on the towel to them. I'm about to go away. I'm about to leave this earth. But I'm giving you a mandate. And the mandate is not that you're prophet so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, teacher so-and-so, pastor so-and-so. It's not the title that you carry as one of the 12 or those of the inner circle. What really matters is the towel. And if you understand the power of the towel, you'll reach lives that nobody else will reach. I want to tell you a little quick story, and I'm going to close. Most of you already know my background. You knew that I was a drug addict, an alcoholic. I remember one day I was in Dallas, Texas. I was born and raised in Shreveport. I was in Dallas partying one weekend. Some of you have heard this story. And a young man walked up to me in a bar that night, and he said, I know you. And I said, bro, you don't know me. He goes, yeah, man, I know you. I said, no, you don't know me, man. I promise you, you don't know me. I'm not from here. I don't live here. You don't know me. He goes, no, I know you. So I walked away from this guy thinking, what a creep. A few minutes later, this guy walked up to me and he goes, hey, man, I know you. I'm trying to think of where I know you from. Well, this happened two or three times. I think this guy's stalking me. I'm about to punch this dude out. And he just kept coming. Finally, he walked up. He goes, oh, I remembered where I know you. I said, really? He goes, yeah, we went to youth camp together. I was like, oh, great. He said, do you remember that sermon that guy preached that time about the train to hell? And he come riding in with that lawnmower and had those little trains hooked to the back of it, had them people chained up inside of it, had that dry ice rolling out of it. You remember that? Yeah, I remember that. Do you remember that song they used to sing? And for 2 hours, my high was gone because, you know why? Because Jesus, in the most unusual way, came and he said, Marvin, can I wash your feet? I said, Lord, I don't deserve for you to wash my feet. He said, but I've come to a bar tonight because this is who I am. Now, I came from a little guy that went to youth camp with you, and he's here partying just like you are, but I sent him as a voice tonight because I want you to remember, son, it ain't about your title. It ain't about where you are. It's not about your position. It's about I'm a servant, and I've come to wash your feet. I've come to remind you that at 14 years old on that campground that he's talking about, that I called you into the ministry, and I haven't forgotten about you. Lord, you can't wash my feet. You can't wash my feet. I don't deserve for you to wash my feet, God. I don't deserve for you to speak to me, God. Look at me, I'm a mess. I'm a cokehead. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a dope head. God, you don't really know. No, I know who you are. You don't know who you are. And he came with a towel, with the heart of a servant. And he said, let me wash your feet, son. Let me come to the most unusual places. And let me touch your life. Because he had a heart of a servant. You see, Jesus has stepped into this room this morning. And he looks at you from a different perspective than you see yourself. We let the people, we let the world, we let those around us identify who we are. But Jesus sees us from a different perspective. And just like he did when he walked the earth, he walked into this place today. And he's come to change your heart. Because that's who Jesus is. Today, I could preach on you serving, but today, I want to preach on you allowing your feet to be washed and let the servant, the king, come and wash your feet. Let Jesus come to where you are and let him wash you and heal you of what's hurting you, what's broken inside of you, what's wounded inside of you. You see, Jesus has the heart of a servant. He didn't come to rule over us. He don't come and take us by and take us by the head and drag us to his feet. He just comes and serves. We desire to be at his feet. We desire to be with him. And in that desiring, he cleanses us from all our sins. The most powerful man to ever walk the face of the earth. The most powerful worship team you could come. The most powerful man to ever walk the face of the earth came to serve you. Can you bow your head with me this morning?